Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE school board. They both serve on the MCCSE school board and join us every Thursday morning. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm real excited about the Hoosiers.
Well, obviously I am. I can't even talk about them. So that's...
I guess so. We didn't go last night, but I was there at one of the other games. And it's going to be crowded Saturday.
And a good crowded, too, because very rarely in life do we find a group all cheering for the same thing at the same time and really getting behind it. And fan is short for fanatic, and there should be lots of them. 7,800 folks last night. The biggest crowd ever for a women's basketball game was back in 2005 when they had 10,002. Let's try to break that record on Saturday, and let's see if we can get a banner up there in the old Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
I think that'd be wonderful. That would be just wonderful.
Buy your tickets early. Don't stand in line, but get in line to get in early because of the general admission seating. So fun.
Yeah, people were buying tickets last night right after the game. So,
smart.
Yeah.
Smart. $12 for adults, $6 for youth. That's 18 and under, or under 18. I'm not sure what the cutoff is there. Everybody needs a ticket to get in Saturday, so there's no passes or no anything else that goes along with that. So we've got that covered. It's a busy time in the MCCSE, Keith.
Well, and Sue, in a sense, like you don't have to be a CPA to understand that, but we need to explain to people that we had a hearing preceding our regular meeting that deals with transferring money that the state said you couldn't really have in your budget, and now the state's going to have to deal with it. We really need it in our budget. That's why it was there in the first place. So explain what we did about buses and other things.
And go slow on this, because anytime we have school money, it can only stay in one silo. It can't jump around. So I have my pen. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, this is talking about several funds. So we're not talking about moving anything from silo to silo. The board approves a budget, like any government entity. You approve what it is you want to spend, and then you appropriate the money. So then the board says to the administration, okay, we're going to appropriate this to you. So we approved the budget knowing how much money we had. We didn't say we're going to spend, and I can't remember what our total budget was, but we don't say we're going to spend $10 million if we only have $8 million. I mean, that's just, we can't, I mean, we wouldn't. So we approved a budget. The state local, the Department of Local Government Finance said, that's too much. So they didn't approve our budget. They lowered it. So we could only appropriate what the state lowered that budget to. Now our business manager, John Kenny, and the superintendent have been talking with the state and saying, yes, we do have this money. So now we appropriated that additional money that will allow the school corporation to pay it. So one more time, I'm not really sure why the state would think we didn't have the money when the Department of Local Government Finance sees everything we have. But so it was very interesting. So what we had to do in order to allow the school corporation to pay it, to use the money, we had to have a hearing so that we could appropriate it. And during the hearing, we do that so that the public can comment on it in case the public wants to say, no, you shouldn't be spending that money on what you say you're going to spend it on. So we approved it, and so now we have the money appropriated, and we're waiting to see if the state will allow us to spend it. Kind of silly, huh?
No, it's beyond that.
It's government.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what to say. I don't understand.
I don't understand either, because you know, we have a community that values public education, and certainly we proved that with two referenda. And if we have the money, and the state, that's just what's beyond me, Glass. It's one more time, as Keith likes to say, that we're losing local control over our school corporation. If we can't approve a budget as the board, that's one of our few duties as a school board, and have the state come in and say, oh, no, we're going to lower it. I'm not sure what's left for us to do.
Incidentally, let me point out, we approved a balanced budget, not a deficit budget, a balanced budget.
By law, could you pass a deficit budget?
I don't think we could. They wouldn't allow us to do that in the first place. Although you do wonder about some of the corporations in Indiana that are in the hole.
Sue, do you appeal? What is the next phase in this?
So John Kenny, our business manager, will be talking with the state and showing them more indication or more proof that we have the money. And as a board, we approve what the board doesn't sit around and make up a budget. The administration does that. And they show us what it is. We would never, as a board, we're not like other governmental agencies, like the federal government. We know exactly how much money we're going to get from the state. We know pretty much what we're going to get from grants. And we know what we have from our referendum. So we know how much money we have. And that's what we approve. And really what we're approving is just not that total amount, but different categories and the different silos. So, so we'll wait for Mr. Kenny. He seems to be pretty positive about the fact that once he approaches them again with this new appropriation, that everything will be okay.
And is this a reaction to what's happened at Muncie and Gary School Corporations, where everybody's going over with a fine-tooth comb so this doesn't happen again? Or why hasn't this been an issue before?
You know, Glass, that's a really good point. And to be really honest with you, I don't know, but that seems to kind of make sense. But I guess in my mind, if a school corporation, I don't know what happened to Muncie. I really don't know why they were so in debt. But I think there's other ways to handle it, including the local community rising up and voting out a school board and voting in a new school board or demanding different administrations. But that's a good observation, Glass, and that really could be them getting a little antsy about the money factor, because I really don't know how what happened to Muncie happened there.
Sue Wanser and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. Both serve on the MCCSE school board. What else in your meeting for Tuesday
night? I just find your last statement, Sue, to be so darn ironic that the state's worried about financing of the schools and everything's on the up and up when they're giving money away to charter schools and everything else. Come on, folks. Let's play both sides of the street at the same time. That just bothers me.
And that's a really good point, Keith. And somebody mentioned that to me after our board meeting about Muncie, that Muncie is in debt, but yet when a lot of charter schools were in debt several years ago, the state bailed them out.
Right.
But they're not doing that to the traditional board-governed public school system. So that Keith is right. That's really interesting. I'm not sure the state. Keith is right. The state isn't playing fair on both sides.
Speaking about money and financing and all the other things, we have a foundation, and one of the roles the foundation plays is to find money to help finance things in the schools that otherwise teachers and the budget doesn't handle and things like that. And they have a big event coming up, and let's just tell people that just about any place you go to eat in Monroe County, you can help the foundation raise some money to help the schools.
Yeah, it's MCCSC Dine and Donate Day on April 18th. And please go to the MCCSC website, and you can connect there to the foundation website, or go directly to the foundation website. And all the different restaurants are there, and people
should
really check.
There's a million of them.
Yeah, Dad,
and there's
Dad Mike
hours.
Has seen the thing that was sent home.
It is.
Yeah.
With my daughter in MCCSE schools, we get an email from the principal saying, hey, look, it's Dine and Donate, and there's a flyer, and it starts at 5 in the morning ends at midnight. It's not a window where you have to go after school. You can go for breakfast, lunch, whatever it could be. Thanks to all the local participating restaurants, there's probably 25 or 30 of them.
More than that, even. So you're right.
And again, thanks to the foundation board, who are all volunteers who work to support the foundation. They're the ones who went out and recruited these different restaurants. And so there's a variety, as Glass said, there's a variety of times and a variety of amounts that they will donate. But this will come back to the school corporation, and it will help fund Backpack Buddies, which happens through the community kitchen. And so some of the money will help fund that and will help our school lunch assistance program.
Right.
So there are so many people who were concerned about that and interested in that, and that's a great way for people to help that.
What was the report, Sue? About $5,000 a month for the lunch assistance?
Yes.
Let me ask a question, and I know you don't have the answer in front of you, or at least I wouldn't think you would. Can you look and see what the numbers are year to date after, quote unquote, we'll pay for the.
Oh, yeah.
Is it gone up because the generosity has increased?
The number of people that are receiving it?
Yes. That would be, I think, a very interesting number. Are people taking advantage of the situation?
The word advantage is not necessarily a positive term in this respect.
No, it's not. And that's why I'm making
that. And the answer to your question is yes.
They are taking
advantage. Some people are taking advantage.
The numbers are up.
Right.
And it's a part of our consent agenda. Every meeting, the consent agenda, we don't discuss. It's just a lot of things like some minutes and some finance things that there's never any comments on, and we just pass it without discussion. The food assistance fund is in there, and I will look at that and let you know next week because I think we do a monthly and then an annual report or year-to-date.
Because
so we can let you know.
The do-gooderness behind it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But spending extra time to do it makes me itch a little bit. I know that's a weird angle.
What do you mean?
You spend a lot of time doing these dine and donates to keep up with the deficit that's increasing, where that time and effort and energy could be spent on other things. So that's where I get a little itchy.
I totally agree.
I don't have a solution for you, Sue. I don't like that, but that makes me itch.
And I totally agree. And my solution, which certainly isn't supported by everyone, is that it should come out of our budget, I believe. But that's my personal opinion.
And that budget that's being hacked away by the state that you just told me about 10 minutes ago.
Right.
And
we did appropriate some money when we first started the lunch program. I think, Keith, you're going to have to remind me. I think maybe it was $10,000. And I had proposed that, and I just kind of hope that that would be enough, and obviously
Were projections at the beginning that at the end of the year this could cost
$50,000,
$60,000. Yeah,
popping up. The do-gooderness side of it is wonderful. Don't take that in the wrong connotation there. That's not where I'm getting at. It's the do-gooders being exploited for having to do more good.
Well, you know, my story, Mike, has always been that if I can look over and see that you're not paying for your kid's lunch and can afford it, then why should I pay for my kid's lunch if I can afford it?
And there's always a few bad apples.
I have no quarrel whatsoever with the people that are on the financial situation or the free and reduced lunch kids. None of that's the issue. The issue is somebody that's taking advantage of a situation.
And sadly, there are people that say, well, I'm going to do that, and then I'll show them, and then the project gets shut down completely, then everybody loses.
Right.
We don't understand but someone's going to make their point, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. 824 WGCO, Keith and Sue both serve on the MCCS school board.
Real quick change of directions. There's something that is an absolutely spectacular program. Mike needs to listen to this, too, because he's got a daughter, and it's GEMS, and it's got kids excited. Talk about that.
And again, this is our foundation doing this, and this is the second year we've done this in cooperation with the foundation. GEMS stands for Girls in Engineering, Math, and Science, and the last day to register to sign up for this is Friday, and it's for 5th and 6th grade girls. There's 159 enrolled already. There's going to be a cap of 200 people, and this is April 14th. And it's most of the day. Last year, the kids got lab coats. I think that's so cool. I want to go to get a lab coat, but they probably won't fit me. But so it is. It's a time for young girls to get involved and engaged and involved really hands on with science and math projects. So it's pretty fun. We do this. The school corporation does this with the foundation and. I just think it's a great time. So if anyone's interested, again, mccsc.edu, or they can call the administration building and register for this.
Outstanding. All right, Sue, great job as always. Thanks for the updates. We'll keep an eye on these financial situations, plural, because that's interesting. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll get caught up next Thursday.
Thank you, and we'll have more to tell you next week.
Well, that's great. Good. Keep us in the loop. We enjoy that. Thank you.
Okie dokie.